Welcome back to the Fantasy Hockey Podcast, Wednesday Unsustainable Edition, the last week before the playoffs for most people. It is for us. We're 1-2 right now, so we'll probably get a bye next week, which gives us more time to focus on the podcast, I guess, since we won't actually be focusing on our teams.
Hopefully, if you're in a big enough league that your playoffs start next week and not... You don't have to play the last week of the regular season, which is horrible.
We did that 1 year, I think. Did we do that last year? No.
I think we've always ended a week early.
Maybe. But it was
terrible. I think Yahoo defaults to that.
Oh, no. Malkin just sucks and got injured, didn't play. I thought he had been scratched. Okay, so we're going to go over unsustainable picks. The last one of the season. The last unsustainable Wednesdays of the season. So enjoy it while you can. Brandon did some snake stuff today, and I dropped FNUF and told him, and he called me a crazy dog, and then he went and picked up FNUF, who I was hoping would go on waivers. I didn't know that if you drop someone within 24 hours, they don't go to waivers.
And they don't play a game.
Ugh, I was so annoyed. So I pretty much gave it to him for free. I did take away the best goalie in the whole thing.
I don't like Lindgren that much.
I like Lindgren, though. He's had good stats all season. Anyways.
He's played like 7 games.
He's played, I think, more than 7. Maybe like 8. Okay. Okay. 8 is a big difference. Okay, moving on. So we'll start with our unsustainable calls from last week and review them. I'll start with my unsustainably high. My first one was Mikkel Boedker. 4 games played, 1 assist, a minus 3, 3 shots on goal, 2 hits, and 2 blocks. Came down to earth, just as I expected. I think he was a higher than a point per game last time.
Mm-hmm.
Nico Hischier as well was just ridiculous. More than anything, his shots were crazy. His points actually came down a little bit more than I expected since he's on the top line. 3 games played, 1 assist, minus 1, 2 PIMs, 4 shots on goal, 7 hits, and 2 blocks for him.
On the top line with Taylor Hall, who's 22 games in a row.
Come
now.
On. You only get 1 point there. I expected maybe 3 games played, 2 points there.
Yeah.
And lastly, Mike Armadillo, who had a crazy week last week. Amadio, but I call him Armadillo. It's a thing. It's kind of like Chabu.
It's not a thing.
It's like Chabu.
It's not.
It is definitely a thing. 4 games played, 2 shots on goal, 3 hits, and 1 block. He also went down to only like 10 minutes a game as he was. So whatever, he wasn't going to do much.
All right. I started off with Dougie Hamilton, but it wasn't necessarily that I thought he was going to go down. Oh, I did because he had 5 points in 3 games, but it was that he had 4 goals on 11 shots and all 3 of them were power play goals. So that was the part I was mentioning. I do like that they have Hamilton and Giordano on the top power play. Since then, in 4 games played, he's still at point per game. Although just point per game, not above. 1 goal, 3 assists, plus 1, 4 PIMs, 13 shots, 2 power play points, 1 hit, and 3 blocks. So he's looking really good for the end of the season here. Next up, I said Dion FNUF, who had 3 goals in 4 games.
Snake, you picked him up.
Well, it was because I didn't like the fact that he was on the second power play. I don't think, especially with Mike Amadeo, who we were just talking about, I don't think their second power play is very good. Their top power play has Carter and Kopitar on it, so they're stacking it pretty heavily. Although the second one now has Toffoli and some other guys, but whatever. Yeah. Anyway, in 4 games, he had 2 assists, minus 1, 11 shots, 1 power play point, 5 hits, and 7 blocks. The interesting thing is he played top power play last game, and I don't see why they're going to change that in the short term. So I snagged him because he does hits and getting a lot of shots, so I'll take it while I have it. Plus, I have I know that the Kings only played 2 games next week, but... I'm pretty sure I'm locked into a bye week now, so I'm not really worried about that.
Yep.
And after that, they get 4 games the following week, so that's semis, and I think 4 games again. Could only be 3, but either way, I know it's not 2. Lastly here, Tyler Myers. I was mostly worried because he had 6 assists in 3 games, which is absurd to begin with, but he only had 4 shots, and that was kind of the more worrying thing. His peripherals have come down. They were never great to begin with, but they really came down. Since then, 3 games played, no points, a minus 3, only 2 shots, 4 hits and 5 blocks. That's bad. That's real bad.
Oh, yeah. That's real bad. Tyler Myers, I remember last week I said I was kind of excited about picking him up. Nope. I'm glad I didn't. Moving on to unsustainably low
Brett
from
did.
Last week. He did pick him up. He dropped him and then picked him up again.
No, he dropped him. Oh, he maybe
I think
did.
He did.
He dropped him for Nash just recently.
Yeah. Moving on to unsustainably low. I hate these ones. Right on the head. Well, actually, I missed my goalie pick, but my forward and defenseman picks were straight hot fire. Phil Kessel, 3 games played, 2 goals, 2 assists, a plus 1, 11 shots on goal, 1 power play point, and 1 block. Boy, oh boy, does that look good. I mean, I think he could even get another power play point in there, maybe. but that's still fantastic. And then Seth Jones, 3 games played, 1 goal, 3 assists, -1, 14 shots on goal, 3 power play points, 3 hits, and 3 blocks, which is just nuts, honestly. I mean, those shots on goal, I think, I don't know why I delete these things, but last week he didn't have that many shots, if I remember correctly. And that's a big reason why I was saying that wasn't
really good breakout year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, totally outshined Werenski in every way possible.
But it's great for Columbus because you're kind of piggybacking off Werenski or Seth Jones. Who's going to be hot? Who cares? If one of them's hot, you're winning pretty much.
Seth Jones this year.
Yep. And then lastly, Braden Holtby, 2 games played, 2 losses, a 5.4 goals against average, and an 8.57 save percentage.
Nailed that one.
He still receives unsustainably low. He is very bad.
So my unsustainably low calls were amazing as well. I called out Ryan Getzlaf because he only had 1 assist in 3 games and only 6 shots. Since then, 3 games played, 2 goals, 4 assists, +3, 4 PIMs, 10 shots, 2 power play points, 1 shorthanded point, 6 hits and 4 blocks. So awesome week for him. He's never been a big shooter, so 2.5 shots a game is pretty good.
Yep.
For what you expect for him. It's even less than that, but anything over 2 shots is about, I'll be happy with Getzlaf because this is what you get.
Yep.
Anything below that, I'm kind of mad. next up, Jonathan Huberdeau. He had 4 games with no points coming into this week. This week, in 3 games played, he got 1 goal, 3 assists, -1, 7 shots, 2 power play points, and 2 blocks.
Wow.
Yeah, good week for him. Still not a lot of shots there either. I actually expect him to shoot more than that. He should get about 3 a game.
Yep.
But he isn't, so whatever. As long as he's getting points, I guess that's better. Then lastly here, I called out Tyler Seguin, who prior to this week had 3 games played, no points, -4, 8 shots, 4 hits, and 2 blocks. And then this week in 4 games played, 3 goals, 1 assist, 4 PIMs, 15 shots, a game-winning goal, 1 power play point, and 3 hits. So everybody that I called out wound up going point per game.
Slight improvement.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Not that you could have picked any of them up, but
no,
whatever.
But you could have maybe traded for him.
Maybe.
Who knows? Moving on to sustainably high. So the guys who said you should keep an eye out or pick up. My first one was Brian Rust, who is at 20% owned. 3 games played, 1 goal, 1 assist, +1, 9 shots on goal, 3 hits, and 1 block. Not bad out of him. And then Dion Phaneuf, who you already went over the stats, so I won't do that. But at the time I mentioned him, he was around 30% on Yahoo. I think now he's up to around 40-something. So he's gaining
there.
Yeah,
he's at 47, I think.
Yeah, something like
that. No, he's at 37.
Oh, 37? Okay, so he didn't come up as much as I thought. And then Roberto Luongo, 54% on Yahoo. 3 games played, 3 wins, a .300 goals against average, and a .919 save percentage. He's looking really, really good. So are the Panthers in general. They just beat the Pens. Granted, they had a backup goalie, but they are looking really good. I'm excited to see what they do.
My first call up here was Derek Brassard. He was 27% on Yahoo. He's jumped since then, especially due to the trade. 3 games played, 1 goal, 2 assists, +1, 7 shots, 1 power play point, 5 hits. All that happened with Ottawa. He got 2 shots and 4 hits in his game with Pittsburgh against the Devils. That's the only game he's played so far. He played 16 or 17 minutes, so he's getting okay ice time.
Yep.
I still don't know how I feel about it, though. Roto-World seems to think it's going to be a great upgrade for him. I am not convinced.
Same.
I love that he's got a line mate in, or line mates, really, Gensel and Kessel. Kessel obviously being significantly better. Second power play deployment is pretty expected, but it'll just, we'll have to see. I'm glad that he got ice time, though. That was the biggest concern I had.
Yep.
Next up, Nolan Patrick, 7% in on Yahoo. Prior to this week, he had 3 games played, 2 goals, 1 assist, 5 shots, 1 power play point, and 3 hits. This week, in 3 games played, he got 2 goals, +1, 16 shots, which is crazy. 2 game-winning goals.
Since when?
Yeah, 1 power play point and 2 hits. So 2 game winners. Not sustainable, but the points are nice. And then last up here, Matt Duchene. 47% owned on Yahoo prior to this week. That's gone up. He this week had 4 games played, 2 goals, -5, 9 shots, 3 hits, and 4 blocks. Coming from Ottawa, you have to expect the minus at this point, unfortunately. But maybe not -5. His stats are not as good as I expected them to be, but I still expect him to be high 50, low 60 point pace for the rest of the season.
Yeah, don't mind Brandon chuckling over here. Our CEO is pretending to throw a football at us through a window.
Literally so, dancing around. By
dancing around in a meeting by the window. I don't even know what he's doing. It's like tap dancing stuff. Moving on to last week's sustainably low. I started with Vladdy Namestnikov. 2 games played, 1 goal, 1 assist, a plus 1, 2 pims, 6 shots on goal, and 4 hits, and then got traded to the Rangers. So I think he still remains sustainably low, mostly because he got traded to the
Probably
Rangers.
Probably even lower, yeah.
Even lower, yeah. And then Ryan Kesler, who continues to do nothing. 3 games played, minus 2, 2 pims, 7 shots on goal, 3 hits, and 3 blocks. He's been dropped in every single one of my leagues that I'm in, so I say this is a good choice.
It's a shame. You just never got back.
I would have expected. I drafted him 5th round.
Really?
In one league, I didn't notice. It was the first draft I did of the year. I didn't notice he was out. And yeah. I didn't notice he was going to be out for that long.
Yeah, he was out for... He got drafted like 10th or 11th round for us, I think. But,
yeah, it was brutal. I realized that after like how big of a mistake it was. But, you know, whatever. Yeah,
you expect him to be a complete player. And even with his peripherals, they're not quite there.
Yeah. I took Carlson, I think, 3rd overall. And then I took Kessler 5th round. It hasn't been a good season in that league.
Good Lord.
It wasn't good.
Why did you take Carlson 3rd?
I don't know. I expected him to come back from his injury fine. But
yeah, but
didn't work out.
3rd?
Like, yeah.
McDavid, Crosby, Ovechkin?
There's a reason. I forgot exactly why I did it, but there was a reason that I did it. I just don't remember what it was at the time. But in that league, he was...
Defenseman points or
really,
something?
Yeah, I really liked his stats. Okay, moving on. Tyler Johnson was my next one. I didn't do very well in this one. 3 games played, 2 goals, 1 assist, a plus 3, 2 pims, 12 shots on goal, 1 power play point, 2 hits, and 1 block. The peripherals are okay. At least the shots on goal are good, but everything else is garbage, and the points are there. So, whatever. Tyler Johnson was not a good drop option, but my drop options this week get even crazier, so stay tuned.
Yeah. I started out with Darnell Nurse, which wasn't... I mean, whatever. They experimented with on top power play, like I mentioned last week, which was kind of the only reason anybody started picking him up. He has since been moved down from that like a while ago. And this week he got 4 games played, 1 assist, plus 3, 4 pims, 9 shots, 15 hits, and 9 blocks. So actually came through quite well in the banger stats. So he's got some value there, but don't expect him to put up points. Also don't expect Milan Lucic to put up points, who is my next call out. In 4 games played, he had 1 assist, minus 3, 7 shots, 10 hits, and 2 blocks. So he's basically playing like a mediocre banger defenseman.
Yep.
Just get a defenseman.
Yeah.
And lastly here, Michael Ferland, who has been up and down all season about whether or not he's rosterable. Most recently, not rosterable. In 2 games played, he had no points, minus 2, 5 pims, 1 shot, 4 hits, and is hurt now. They dropped his time on ice down to about 13:30, and that's within full game. So it's not including his injury-shortened 6 minutes or whatever he played in the game before he went out. The Flames are very weird. Ferland, for whatever he is not a top-line winger on most teams. And neither is Chris Stewart, who is now the top-line winger for Calgary after they picked him up off of waivers.
Yep.
I'm just shrugging as hard as I can. I don't know what to make of any of that.
Yeah, why... Why you claim someone on waivers and put them on your top line? When was the last time that happened? That's weird. Okay, moving on to unsustainably high for this week. So a disclaimer real quick on how I did this week's. I didn't do anybody that was above around 50% owned, just because I think I might have one. But I didn't really do anybody that was unsustainably high or unsustainably low that was highly owned, because most of you can't trade anymore, and they're not going to be available on the wire. So there's no reason. Like, you might as well... We might as well give you advice on people that you might be thinking about picking up, but you probably shouldn't. So my first unsustainably high is going to be someone in Vegas, and everyone loves picking up Vegas people now. As soon as anybody in Vegas gets hot, they try to pick them up. And the guy right now...
It's worked all season, which is insane.
But I don't think it works as well once you get down to the third and fourth lines, and that's where Ryan Carpenter fills in. Right now, he was playing on the third line, getting some good minutes, but now he's down to the fourth line with the acquisitions in Thomas Tatar. So he's down to the fourth line. Minutes have definitely dwindled. And he has 4 games played, 1 goal, 2 assists, a plus 2, 12 shots on goal, 6 hits, and 1 block. Definitely serviceable. I think that is completely justified. But the problem is I don't think that is going to last at all. Next up on the Edmonton Oilers, Ryan Strom. Crazy week, 4 games played, 3 goals, 2 assists, a plus 1, 2 pims, 5 shots on goal, and 2 blocks. Ryan Strom is not going to be putting up 5 points in 3 games. or four games.
Getting three goals and five shots.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. And lastly here, a very lowly owned guy, but probably somebody that, you know, people could keep an eye on because he's a defenseman, he's on the Pens, is Brian Dumoulin. Three games played, three assists, a plus three, two pims, five shots on goal, two hits, and two blocks. Again, one of those things where you're getting three assists on five shots on goal. Mm-hmm. All even strength, too. That's not going to happen all the time. So just keep an eye on that.
So I started out with a couple guys that were highly owned, but a lot of my other selections are similar in that they're mostly under 50% owned. Starting off with Eric Staal and the Wild in general, I don't know what's going on with Minnesota. In four games played, Eric Staal had seven goals and four assists and a plus nine. Two pims, 17 shots, two game-winning goals, three power play points, and a block. I just have to say, like, if you're facing, you know, any of Staal, Zucker, Granlund, any of these guys, if you're facing them in the playoffs, I wouldn't be that worried. Like, you should be happy that they're blowing up right now, because odds are this is going to cool off very hard.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for guys like Zucker, who I'm playing this week, of course, dropping 5 points on me yesterday. Speaking of 5 points, Roman Josi had a 5-point night, getting five assists, but adding it all up, three games played, he had eight assists. Plus four, four shots, which is terrible. Two power play points, five shots, and six blocks, which are okay.
Two assists per shot.
Yeah.
It's a good metric.
Normal. Yeah. That's all there is to say about that. That's gonna normalize. And then last up here, Kyle Palmieri. Three games played. He had three goals, one assist, two pims. The biggest thing is that he had 20 shots in three games. One game winning goal, one power play point, four hits, and a block. I think he's going to clip in at about high 50, low 60 point pace for the rest of the season. Not over point per game or not even point per game. And he's not going to be getting seven shots a game, just obviously.
Yep, obviously. Now, for unsustainable, although I do love Kyle Palmieri, I did say last time, or when he was available and he had just come back from injury, I'd said he has some of the best average stats of almost anybody on the wire. And I told people you should pick him up, and he's really showing his worth so far. Moving on to unsustainably low, I'll start with Bo Horvat in Vancouver. Three games played, a minus three, 13 shots on goal, and one hit. The shots on goal are fine. I think the points are going to come. I think that this is a guy that you should keep an eye on and could be valuable come playoff time if you need, you know, a spot start or something like that. Another guy that's similar to that is Clayton Keller. Now, he's doing exceptionally bad. I'm shocked by this because he's played three games, two pims, only four shots on goal, and one block.
Ugh.
Like, that's really sad. And then lastly here, I know this is crazy.
It is crazy.
I'm going to explain it for a second.
No, you're not.
Real quick. Craig Anderson, two games played, 4.62 goals against average, and an 8.57 save percentage. Awful. Terrible. I know. But as we go down the stretch, now here's the only thing that here's the only thing I kind of like about him. Ottawa sucks. Teams are going to start resting their people. He may get wins and a few good games by people getting rested. That's the only place I could see him having value.
No.
It's where they play Craig Anderson. He faces a terrible backup goalie.
Don't pick up Craig Anderson.
Don't pick him up, but just know that I think that option is there, and he's shown that he can be good, but he's just been awful this season. So, whatever.
I'll start off with Tomas Hertl. No points in four games, minus one, four pims, 10 shots, three hits, and four blocks. However, he's still in a good line with Couture and still on top power play, which surprises me, to be honest. I would have expected them to put Evander Kane on top power play, but they haven't yet. And as long as they don't, Hertl still has value. The second they do, it starts to decline pretty quickly. Next up, Mika Zibanejad. Still sub 50% ownership, although I guess the fact that he has no points probably has something to do with that. Three games played, no points, a minus five, but 11 shots, eight hits, and four blocks, and that's great. Those are very good peripherals. He's probably the only truly reliable guy on the Rangers anymore. You know, their best. Oh crap!
Did you press the wrong button?
No.
You pressed the wrong button.
No work.
Nope. Oh.
Okay.
You're gonna break the app.
Yeah. So
Draft is gonna go down from all the five people that play. How many people play Draft? Five people? 140,000 people? I think it's more like 140,000 people, something like that.
A good amount of people.
I'm trying to waste time so you can find your spot in the
script. I am trying to
again.
Find my spot. And I can't believe it scrolled me all the way back to the top. This is so annoying.
Google, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? Take him back to where he's... There you go.
Okay.
There we go.
Only reliable guy. Right. That's where I was at. Only reliable guy on the Rangers right now. Chris Kreider could be argued as the other reliable guy. And Zuccarello, if he were to play top line, which he's not at the moment. I guess, but I still think Zibanejad is your best bet. And then lastly here, Brendan Gallagher, three games played, one assist, plus two, two pims, 16 shots, one hit, and one block. I don't like that he's on the third line, but he is top power play. He's been shooting a ton. His peripherals are great. I assume he's going to get moved up to the top six time. He has good time on ice already, but I don't know why they're putting him on this weird third line. I think they're going to move him up to a better line, and yep, he should be able to get more points that way.
Yep. And then for sustainably high, I'll start with Cam Atkinson. With three games played, two goals, two assists, plus one, two pims, three power play points, one shorthanded point, 12 shots on goal, and three hits. A little bit scary that every single point this week came on a special team. But that being said, he has great line mates. I think he's pretty much set in terms of kind of his position. I think he's top line, top power play, almost lock for the rest of the season. He was available for a long time, but I think he's sustainably high. The next guy that I think is sustainably high is Paul Stastny. Three games played, one goal, one assist, one power play point, four shots on goal, and two blocks. And as we know, he got traded to the Jets. Now, I will stand by this in saying that I think the Jets made the best trade of the deadline,
yep,
in acquiring Stastny. Easy. They won the deadline, I think, in their acquisition. Maybe only second to the Lightning. But other than that, I love the Stastny pickup, and I think the line mates of Ehlers and Line A is going to click, and I wouldn't be surprised if that becomes the second line. Moving on, lastly, in goaltending, Peter Mrazek, we mentioned him on Monday, or yesterday, rather. Three games played, two wins, 1.30 goals against average, and a 9.47 save percentage. This guy, I think, is a must-add. Like, if he were available, yep, in my league right now, I'd drop Jake Allen. I'd drop almost...
I don't know
goalie.
That he's a must-add, but...
I think he's a must-add if you need a reliable goalie. If you have someone who's even closely...
If he was available
unreliable,
to me, I would take him. Yeah. But like, I'll take him over Jake Allen. Yeah.
I'll put it this way. If you think you maybe even might need a goalie, he's a must-add. That's the way I see it. You should lock him up, because Philly is really good. Of course.
Yep.
Of course.
Evgeny Dadonov. He's still like 27% owned. I don't know why. Three games played, three goals, one assist, plus one, nine shots, one game-winning goal, two hits, five blocks. He got a hat trick, I think. Like, why? Yeah. Why does nobody care?
I don't know.
He's been top-line, top power play forever. Stop sleeping on him, for the love of God.
I know.
Next up, Jeff Carter. He actually is pretty heavily owned, but for those of you that dropped him early, he might still be hanging around on your waiver wire.
Probably.
Three games played, two goals, plus two, 18 shots, two power play points, both goals, obviously, three hits and a block. Good future for Carter. He's come right back to form. He's actually playing better than I think he did last season as far as, well, shot production. I mean, this is a low sample size, of course, but he's playing to win. So that's, yep, what you need out of him. He seems to be back to full strength.
Yep.
And last here, Anthony Beauvillier. Two games played, three assists, plus four, only two shots, three hits, and one block. I would kind of take him more in leagues that don't, like points leagues, that don't really count peripherals, especially if you don't count shots. He's been clicking with Barzal and Eberle on the second line, and he's doing pretty well in the second power play, I think. I don't know that he's gotten any power play points really, but that power play line's not that bad as it has Eberle on it. It's not that great either, but
yeah.
Yeah, so I like Beauvillier the rest of the... As long as he stays on that second line.
Yep, I agree with that. Moving on to sustainably low guys, I'll start with Zach Aston-Reese, who, I should mention, I put this morning, and I looked this up again. He actually got sent down today. So this is a little bit
Isn't
pointless.
Isn't it Aston-Reese, not Aston-Reese? Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's Acton.
Is it Acton? I'm almost positive it's Aston. Maybe I misspelled
right.
it. I don't know. The S is kind of close to the C, I think. Not as close as I thought, but I'm pretty sure it's Aston-Reese. Anyways, I'll move on. Now, my next one is a little bit controversial. A little bit. Jonathan Toews.
Oh, it is Aston-Reese. You're
right. It is Aston-Reese. Jonathan Toews is sustainably low, in my opinion. Through three games played, he has a minus two, nine shots on goal, and two hits. Sure, the shots on goal are good.
He's injured, actually.
Oh, he is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's why. That makes sense. So Jonathan Toews has no points in his last three games, and I think that's going to stick. And if you look back at his last seven games, his one goal, three assists, a minus two, one power play point, 22 shots on goal, and three hits. Now, the shots are awesome. The problem for me here is that I'm not looking at this. Let's say you're a 12-team league. Don't drop Jonathan Toews. That's dumb. But yep, if you're in like an 8-team league, maybe even a 10-team league, most likely there's better on the wire than Jonathan Toews.
Yeah, there might
Especially
be.
Especially in a points league. Like, I don't know. Like, I like Jonathan Toews as a real hockey player, but in terms of fantasy, I think there's just better upside out there. That's what I'm looking for. There's no upside in Chicago right now. They're going to miss the playoffs. So that's kind of...
It is 4 points in four games if you don't include the most recent three, though.
Yeah. Yeah, but still, I mean, he gets on these stretches, right? And, like, I don't want to bet on stretches. I want to bet on consistency. Mm-hmm. That's the way I see it. That exact notion is why I'm also including Jeff Skinner here. 3 games played, 1 assist, -5, 1 power play point, 4 shots on goal, 2 hits and 3 blocks. The shots on goal, garbage. 4 and 3, that's mm-hmm. awful. Now, the thing with Jeff Skinner is he's exactly what I just said. He's not consistent. He's consistently bad, and then he has spurts of brilliance. How is that any different from a streaming option? You might as well, while he's cold, drop him and pick up someone that's hot. Once Skinner gets hot, pick him back up. No one's going to grab him right now. Well, maybe somebody, but I would get him out of my hair and try to grab somebody that's
you're
actually
also probably
doing
dealing
something.
With, you know, half the teams in your league at this point.
I exactly. Don't know that's the other thing I see is, like, you're not competing against too many people to pick him up. And lastly here, Jake Allen.
Unless you have a consolation bracket.
That's true. And it actually matters. Yeah. Like, I have a consolation bracket and it doesn't matter, so I'm kind of...
Could be one
I'm
of those.
Benching everybody.
If you
on
get
purpose.
First, you get first pick or something.
Yeah, that'd be nice. For Jake Allen, 3 games played, 3 losses, 4.72 goals against average, and 8.43 save percentage. If there's a better goalie in your league, just grab him. Grab him better than Allen. Yep. There's no point in holding on to him right now. Like I picked up Lindgren. If Lindgren becomes a starter in Montreal, I will probably drop Allen to keep Lindgren. So we'll see. But, yeah. He's garbage.
For me, Connor Sherry, first up. 3 games played, no points, 1 shot. I think he's actually playing with Brassard now. I think Gensel got moved around. I don't really remember. But last I looked, it was Sherry with Brassard and Kessel. That might help a little bit, but he's only playing 13 minutes a game or less. So not high on him.
Not great.
Brassard also on second power play with him, which will help. But, again, still not good. There's just better options. Michael Grabner next up. 2 games played, no points, +1, 3 shots and 2 hits. On the third line with no power play time, he did get decent ice time in his last game with 17 minutes, but he only got 13 minutes before that, which he may have been on the Rangers at that point, so maybe that's irrelevant, but I still would not be high on Grabner at all. And then last up here, I'm going to say Craig Anderson is sustainably low with his garbage numbers of 2 games played, 4.62 goal against average, and 8.57 save percentage.
Going against me. Yep. To be fair, I didn't say pick up Anderson. I just said, you know, keep an eye on him. He could pose some value at some point.
Yep.
But no, I agree. He's been garbage. So how about you start us off with your top overall picks?
Why? Because you don't have any?
Yeah, that's why.
All right. Picks of the night. I think Andrei Vasilevsky versus Buffalo is an easy one. Buffalo has, like, nobody. They're running that, like, Boston University line with O'Regan, Eichel, and Rodriguez.
Oh, yeah.
So that's all they have.
Fun.
Which will be fun to watch, actually, probably. But they probably don't want to start off against Tampa, but oh well. Next up, Matthew Barzal at Montreal. He's just been great. Why not? And then Jeff Petrie at home against the Islanders. He's still cheap. So considering how good he's been lately, I think he's an easy pickup.
Yeah.
Then for my value picks, so here's one that's really deep. Ivan Barbashev versus
like
Detroit. He's $2,800, so they don't really get much cheaper. And he's centering Tarasenko and Steen, which I don't know why, but he is. So it doesn't get, you know, Shen's not there for some reason, so he's not going to get any power play time. But as far as cheap options go, he's got a lot of upside, especially against Detroit. Anthony Beauvillier, I also like at Montreal for reasons I already mentioned. And then Mark Giordano to round things out at Colorado. A nice cheap option on a really dynamic power play that's been clicking lately.
Yeah. Now, I didn't fill this out because I'm dumb and took my dog on a walk and completely forgot to put this in. But I think that one team that you didn't mention that I really like today is Colorado. Because they're playing Calgary, who David Rittich is in net, and he's been literal garbage. He had 7 goals against average last game. And you got McKinnon, you got Ronton, you got Landeskog, you've got Samuel Girard as an interesting cheap option. I think Colorado is really interesting tonight.
I looked at Tyson Barrie, but he's pretty expensive.
Yeah, Tyson Barrie is strangely expensive. I wouldn't go Tyson Barrie. Maybe go a little bit deeper there. But so there you go. That's the last unsustainable Wednesday of the season so far. So good luck. And we will see you on Friday for the weekend review.
Yep. Thanks for listening.